Good morning. I love that hymn. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. If you haven't already, please turn to Mark chapter 5. Did you know, by the way, you can order ice water or tap water? I didn't find that out until just now. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Then they, that's Jesus and the disciples, came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Just pause there. Why were they afraid? Were they afraid of the demon-possessed man? Well, I mean, they couldn't have been. He's better. Could they have been afraid of the demons? The demons are gone. The pigs? They're dead. It must be Jesus that they're afraid of. Why? We'll be looking at that fear a bit later this morning. Verse 16, and those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled. That's a big change in this guy's life. Just in the span of probably a few minutes. Think about this guy's life before Jesus came. You know, I wonder how it happened. We meet him as he's demon-possessed. But it's obvious that from this passage and the parallel passage in Luke, this man did have friends at one point. He had a house. But something happened. Some way or another, he opened himself up by his sin to demon possession. You know, we use that word when you buy a new house, right? You purchase the house, and then there's the date that you actually take possession. That's the day you're in there, right? there was a time when the demons kind of did the same thing. They got their new home. They took possession. And he was theirs. And now these angelic beings, these very powerful fallen angels, control this guy. They're not just kind of sitting there and they let him do whatever. They control him. He can't control his own body now. The demons have control of him. And all of a sudden his life's different. His only interaction with people now is that they try to subdue him. You saw that. Chains and shackles, right? I can imagine they're pretty scared of him. If that's all they try to do to him. And what does he do? He's bound with chains and shackles. And of course now he's got the demons inside of him, so he breaks them. He's got superhuman strength. I wonder if he wanted if the guy inside kind of wanted the chains to finally work this time. But then he's got the power and the demons work through him and they break the chains. And in Luke it says, he was driven by the demons into the wilderness. I like that. Driven by the demons. Like slave drivers. Go! Go! Out into where there's nobody. Out where there's tombs. Where there's animals grazing. Where it's cold, where it's dark, where it's unfriendly, out among the wild animals. And he can't help it. The demons have got him. Where does he live now? He doesn't live in a house. He lives in the tombs. Living in the tombs. Imagine that. I mean, imagine how depressing that would be. This is my home where so-and-so who had died early because of an accident involving one of his animals. He's now laid to rest there. And this is my home. All these dead people. I'm sure that was the work of the demons. You know, they want to destroy this guy. Not yet. But they want to destroy him. That's their ultimate purpose. They're going to kill him. But let's make his life as miserable as possible first. Where's the last place you'd want to live? In a graveyard. Well, let's make him live there. It says also in Luke that he wore no clothes. I mean, that brings to mind a couple of things. Number one, it's embarrassing. I don't believe this guy, if he'd been in his right mind, would have said, yeah, let me run around naked. No. But through the authority of the demons in him, he's wearing no clothes, and he's exposed to the elements, and in addition to that, he's cutting himself with stones and crying out. So he's got this stone. All of a sudden he gashes himself. I'll bet he cries out from the pain. Gash himself again. Yells out. And he's out exposed to the elements in the middle of nowhere. He's got no clothes to protect himself from the wounds that he's inflicted on himself. And then he has no rest. Night or day. Constantly. They're up. Get up. Get up. No, you don't lay down. Go. Cut yourself again. Cut yourself. Run around. Yell some more. And he's never alone. He's always there with the demons. They're always inside of his head. Always there telling him what to do. There's a good reason for no rest day or night. Oh, this is his life, by the way. This is not an occasional episode that he has and then he's sane. This is his entire life now. Can you relate to this guy? I can't. I can. And I'm sad to say, sometimes I can relate as a Christian too. He's out there cutting himself with stones. You ever hurt yourself by your sin? I have. You know, I mean, I think we always hurt ourselves when we sin. I think that's just the way that it is. But sometimes it's really obvious. And it's almost like you're like, why am I doing this? This is hurting me. Cutting himself. Wore no clothes. You ever been humiliated by your sin? I can think back to at least one time where, no, multiple times. It's not nice to think about. Where sin has humiliated me. Sin's embarrassed me, but it's what's in charge now. No rest. Maybe you can't sleep at night because of what's on your mind. Maybe you're staying up to sin. no rest. It's sin that's driving you forwards. And he's unable to be subdued. Nothing can stop him. You know, this time, I'm not going to do it. I'm finished. I'm over with this sin. I've decided. And you got those chains there, and then what happens? Bam, you break them. Can you relate to this guy? I can. What a life. Then he saw Jesus. I wonder how he knew who it was. I mean, Jesus is coming on a boat. It's not like he's coming and there's a big crowd around him, right? It's just this boat coming with some people in it. How does he know it's Jesus? Had he heard about Jesus? I mean, I don't know how he would have. He doesn't really have any friends who'd tell him. Did he maybe sense something from the demons inside of him? Maybe he looked out and he saw the boat and he felt something in him recoil. He's like, oh, there's some power in this boat. Maybe God showed him. I don't know. Maybe in some way or another, God worked in his mind to help him to see. This is somebody you want to see. And he says, finally, someone who can help me. But you can see it up here, but then actually to get there? I mean, who's in control? Is it him or is it the demons? I mean, they've been running his life, and they've been very powerfully running his life. I mean, you don't accidentally cut yourself with stones constantly and cry out. I can imagine the willpower this guy is exerting. Do the demons want to go see Jesus? I mean, do you really think that that's what they want to see? I promise you, they're trying to drag this guy as far as possible from Jesus. And you can imagine the mental turmoil is, he's like, I gotta go. And I don't know, I can't even imagine what's going on in his head. And he takes that one foot and he puts it in front of the other, and the demons are pulling him back. He's like, no, I'm going. I'm going to see Jesus. And he starts going, and I imagine he's kind of on a hill, and Jesus has just stepped out of the boat. And he starts going, and he's going faster and faster, and he stumbles, and he runs. And I can imagine, as he's running at Jesus, probably all the disciples start running away. I would. This crazy guy comes running, yelling out of the hills. He looks like he can't control himself. He's flopping around. Jesus is just standing there all day. And he comes and he runs. And what does the man do? As much as he can control, the best thing he can do is fall at Jesus' feet in worship. And he can't do anything more. He can't even talk. Because the demons are going to take over at this point. They're going to be the ones talking. Lord, I'm at your feet. I can't do anything else. You got to take it from here. But actually, Jesus takes over. It's not the demons. Jesus doesn't need any chains, by the way. You notice this? Everybody's been trying to handle him with chains, with ropes, with who knows what else. He just doesn't need a sword to protect himself. He just stands there. And with nothing more than his words, he says, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Now, demons don't take orders from their enemies. If you're fighting a war, you don't take orders from a general on the opposite side. But that's not the situation here. This is their God. They have to obey him. And so when Jesus says, come out, they have to come out. They have no choice. But it's interesting. In his wisdom, Jesus allows them to stay just for a little bit. And protest. I think he does it so that we can see what's been going on in this guy all this time. What he's had inside of him. You know, if they'd gone, you never really would have had this picture of what follows and understood the destructive forces inside of him. So he says, what's your name? And they say, Legion. For we are many. You understand that it says the man is saying this, but it's the demons talking through him. Sounds like there's thousands of evil spirits in this one man. Oh. And what do they want to do? Send us to the swine. I wonder if it's... I don't know why. Maybe they don't want to be out of a body. Maybe they would rather, instead of being out... I don't know what it would mean to be out there, but they'd rather be in the pigs instead, rather than just cast out. Maybe they just wanted to wreak more destruction. Send us to the swine. Does it bother you that Jesus allows it? Does it bother you that Jesus sends the demons into the pigs? It bothers me. I'll be honest with you. It's like, why? I mean, hold on, there's a bunch of harmless pigs over there. Why are you going to let the demons go inside the pigs? I think it's Jesus' authority. He can do what he wants. And it's good. And it's right. Jesus sees in his wisdom that it's best that the demons go into the pigs. You know, I think that if nothing else, it helps me really to see this is the purposes of the demons, the one purpose of the demons, destruction. And Jesus, in his wisdom, says, go. And as soon as the command is given, I don't know what it must have been like inside this guy. They all come out of the guy and they go flying over into the pigs and the pigs go running down the cliff and they go into the sea and they drown. And it's quiet. Just like when Jesus calmed the storm, it says there was a great calm. Imagine what it's like inside this guy's head right now. What's he thinking? I mean, he's still at Jesus' feet, I'm sure. I can move my hands. They're mine again. Oh. And then he looks up. The eyes of Jesus. And he sees the love there. And I'm sure it's echoed right back from his own heart. He didn't run away from me. And he still hasn't sent me away. I'm still here. Everybody else tried to tie me up. This man hasn't sent me away. Who is he? The demons obeyed his authority. He must be God. And he looks up. I wonder if one of the first things Jesus said, get him some clothes. That poor guy. Peter, give him your robe. We have some spare clothes in the boat. Go grab those. Get them for him. Put some clothes on. I wonder if Jesus maybe healed his wounds. Those self-inflicted wounds. You know, we don't know. I'll bet he did, though. I'll bet he did. And Jesus begins to talk to him. What do you think Jesus tells him? Look, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners like you to repentance. It's okay. Whoever believes in me will have everlasting life. Yes, that applies to you also. And you know what? You've been losing your life all this time. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. And you can just hear him drinking in these words. Oh, Lord. You come that I might have life? Oh man, all this time, I've been losing my life for nothing. And here you are to give me back my life. And we're going to come back later, as you know, and we're going to find him. And I love how we find the former demon-possessed man seated. When do you think the last time he sat down was? I mean, really just sat down. You know, that implies a lot of peace, doesn't it? If you can sit down, you're pretty comfortable. You know, you invite someone over into your house and, no, don't stand, sit down, take a seat. He's seated finally. at rest. In Luke, it says very clearly, he's seated at the feet of Jesus. There. That's where he should be. I mean, why wouldn't he be? I mean, somebody with this authority, but somebody who loves him this much, where else would you be? But at the feet of Jesus. Talk to me, Lord. What have you got to say to me? Please teach me, Lord. Things haven't been good for me. Give me a dose of reality here, Lord. I'm ready to learn. Please. At the feet of Jesus. And he's clothed. It's interesting that they put in that little note, he's clothed. The Lord's taking care of him. I mean, I'll promise you the demon-possessed man did not run out and get something for himself. Say, hold on a minute, let me come back and get some clothes. No, Jesus took care of him. Jesus loved him enough to take care of him. Clothed. No more humiliation. And in his right mind. You know, I think he's in his right mind a lot more than many of the people around him who aren't demon-possessed. I mean, this guy gets what's going on. He really understands who Jesus is. He understands where he should be. As he's seated there at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I get it now. Fine. Talk to me. I'm happy. Let me stay here, Lord. I'm in my right mind, finally, and I don't want to do anything else but sit here. You know, you'd call him broken, submissive, but he's just acknowledged the truth. I mean, he's gotten real. You know what I mean? He understands how much Jesus loves him. He understands how good it is, how good Jesus is, and how bad it's been when he had his own life. So he's submissive before the Lord. Have you ever done this? You know, I think in our own minds we build it up as being really complicated. A laundry list of things to do. But it's pretty simple. Just pray. He's just like the demon-possessed man. You notice, by the way, he didn't try and clean himself up before he came running to Jesus. And he comes running at Jesus. I mean, his method of approach is maybe questionable, but he does what he can, as he is, and he just comes to Jesus. And it's so simple. No more running around, no more self-inflicted wounds, but peace. Maybe you've never done this. Let me tell you, it's wonderful. If you've never done it, if you've never come to Jesus and said, Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't bring you anything, but I just fall at your feet in repentance. It's wonderful because what he gives, look at the demon-possessed man, look at the change. Are you a believer? And maybe you need to do this. Maybe there's been some sin. Maybe it's just another matter of coming again to the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. At your feet. Isn't it a beautiful picture there? Seeing him seated, clothed, and in his right mind. Well, let's follow the swineherds, because that's what the story does. I wonder what it looked like to them. I wonder how far away they were. And they've got thousands of pigs. What, 2,000 pigs? So that's a big pig herd. Pig herd? I think it's a herd. Yeah. They've got a big pig herd. Swine herd. Yeah. And, they see this guy coming out of the mountain. Okay, they see a boat coming. Somebody gets out of it and this guy who everybody knows, I'll promise you, everybody in the surrounding areas knows who the demon-possessed man is. And they see him come running and yelling out of the hills. I wonder if they're thinking, you know, maybe should we get out of here now? And he runs at the man, and you're like, yeah, I've seen this one before. That poor guy is toast. And he doesn't attack him. He falls at his feet. And there's some interaction. And then all of a sudden, something happens. And you can see the guy took charge, the man who came on the boat. He took charge of the situation. He had a bit of speaking. He talked to the guy for a little bit. And then he gave a command. And the guy was better, but then our pigs went nuts. And I don't know, they've never acted like this before, but all of a sudden, all of our pigs ran away and they drowned. And that was weird. That was really weird. We got to tell people about what just happened. And they go running, it says, into the country and in the village, everywhere, and they want to tell everybody what just happened. I mean, I can imagine what they're saying. That guy, you know that demon, the crazy guy? He's all better now. And they didn't need to use chains, they didn't need to use nothing, but somehow or other, he's all better. And you know how it happened? There wasn't any big group of people who finally got a hold of him and prayed over him and this and that. Some person just said something and they all went out. Oh, man. But then he sent them into our pigs. And they all drowned. What? And the people who hear it, they're thinking, who is this guy? Who is this guy that just landed on the boat? I mean, we tried everything. You could not stop the demon-possessed man. We know that. I mean, chains, you use chains to bind criminals who want to get away so that they can't get away, right? And they work. That's why you use them. He broke the chains. We couldn't stop him. And then this man comes and all he does is command it. And the demons leave? Who has that kind of authority? Could he be? If the demons obey him, what about me? Obviously, I have to obey him too. I mean, that's authority. He talks, I have to listen. But I'm happy here. I mean, I didn't need him. I didn't ask him to come. He just landed on the boat and I've been happy here. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. I'm happy. I got a good job. I got a wife. I mean, yeah, we had this crazy guy out in the hills, but he was out in the hills all by himself. He wasn't bothering anybody. We've been good. We were until he wiped out our pig herd. I mean, if he's willing to allow that, what else is he going to do? I mean, you can't just have a guy like this as a visitor at your village. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious, right? He's not just going to come in and you say, hi, Jesus, good to have you. Maybe we'll talk about stuff, we'll have a discussion, I'll give you some of my ideas, you give me some of your ideas, and. He has absolute authority. So it's going to demand absolute submission. I mean, he'll take over if he comes. This guy, if he's who, he's got to be God. If he comes, he's going to take over. If you think about it, it has to be that way. You don't have God come and visit and you talk to God. God comes and he takes over because he's God. He can't compromise. I mean, think about it. It doesn't work. I mean, what would he do? Just follow the train of thought. Let's say I welcome him to our village, and I say, okay, come to my village, talk to me. What's he going to do? What's he going to say? What changes is he going to make? But I'm okay. I don't need that. I don't want that. No. I'm okay right now. Things are fine. The only thing he's going to do is mess everything up. It'd be him running things now. I do not want him running things over here. We do not need that. He has to go. We cannot have him come and visit our village. He needs to go now. This kind of person is not welcome here. No. We got to get him to leave. So everybody comes. It says the whole countryside and when it came. And what do they see? An interesting picture. Pigs floating in the water. The former demon-possessed man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And it's interesting what that implies about Jesus, by the way. Because they can see. When Jesus comes, people submit. Because Jesus is standing there with this man at his feet. And he's not saying, no. Jesus is saying, implying by his actions, yes, it's good that you're at my feet. That's not for me. Oh, I am not ready for this. And it says they're afraid. What is Jesus going to do if I acknowledge his authority? I'm scared. I'm afraid of Jesus taking over. I mean, I don't want to become like that guy sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm afraid of becoming that. I'm not going to have this man take charge. And they go up to Jesus and, hi Jesus, heard about you. It's great to have you over here. I mean, you took care of him. I mean, we couldn't do anything for this guy. Good. That's great. But, yeah, it's been nice having you. You know, why don't you go? I mean, if we want to see you, you're okay. You can be over there on the other side of the lake and we'll come and visit you. All right. If we have anybody who needs healing after this, we'll send them to you, okay? We really don't need you over here because everything's good. Everything's fine. You know, we really don't want you over here. Could you please go? Please? Just go. It'll be much safer over there. And he goes. He's not going to impose himself if they don't want him. Have you ever turned Jesus away in fear? I have. I'm ashamed to say I've done it frequently, recently. I mean, I'll be very transparent with you guys. At the day of prayer, what do they say? Get on your knees before the Lord, ask him if there's any unconfessed sin. My first reaction for the first few minutes is, I don't want to go there. What's Jesus going to bring up? I mean, I've been pretty happy so far. You know, I mean, I've been doing my stuff. You know, I've been even serving Jesus. I've been fine. Why do I need to go there? What's he going to say? I kind of actually had some plans. I was thinking of doing this and this. He might tell me not to. If I really ask him, what don't you like about my life? What do you want me to change? I'm afraid he'll answer. Lord, I don't want you to take over. I'm afraid. I'm scared of what you're going to do. But let me ask you a question. Did they really have anything to be afraid of? And think about it before you answer that. Did they really have anything to be afraid of? I mean, right there in front of them was the demon-possessed man, an example of what happens when Jesus takes over. I mean, Jesus is the one who's gentle. He's kind. He's the friend of sinners. He's the one, what, it says that he wept over Jerusalem. That kind of love. I mean, let's be honest. If there is sin in my life that he wants to take care of, there was sin in their lives that needed to be taken care of, fine. I mean, it would be good to have it taken care of, right? It would be good to get it dealt with, to get it repented of. Jesus says what? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Why wouldn't I want to submit to Jesus? Why not? why wouldn't I? I mean, I think you all would agree that it's not the abundant life when I'm in control. You know, the Declaration of Independence that says that we're entitled to the pursuit of happiness? I like that. The pursuit of happiness. That's what it is when I'm in control. Always chasing sin, destroying my life. I mean, I tried living on my own, not submitted to Jesus, and I know what it's like. It's like the demon-possessed guy. It's the self-hurt. It's the no peace, the repulsiveness. I don't want to go back there. And now, submitted to Jesus, oh my goodness, I have real life. As compared to sin destroying my life, I have rest. I have real rest. Have you ever sat down and not had rest inside? You know what it's like to have sin in your life, and maybe you lay down and you're trying to sleep, but it's just eating you up inside? But then you know what it's like to have that real rest, where you lay down and you pray to Jesus and you know everything's good. And you go to sleep. That's real rest. Joy. I mean, have you ever had real deep down joy from running your own life? I mean, I've had some instances of pleasure, but never real joy. I mean, Jesus, when I'm really submitted to Him, He gives real joy. And then, above everything else, I'm loved. I'm loved by Him. Why wouldn't I want to submit to Jesus? Paul puts it well. He says he describes living one way as death and the other way as life and peace. I mean, look at the former demon-possessed man. What a change for him. What does he want to do? He's not running around. Well, he is running. He's running after Jesus. Jesus goes to the boat. He goes running after him. He's like, Jesus, can I please be with you? You see how simple that is, by the way? It's not complicated. I want to be with you, Jesus. Please? That's all I want. But Jesus has a job for him. Jesus gives him something to do, something actually productive. Tell what happened to you. Just go tell about it. There's a testimony, by the way. And it's interesting. It says he began to proclaim. I like that. He doesn't just, you know, go and if he gets into a really good conversation where he feels comfortable, he might mention, by the way, I was actually demon-possessed. I like Jesus now. And then he kind of gets embarrassed. No, it says he began to proclaim. This is the guy, you know, walking through the streets. Hey, people, come on, I got to tell you about something. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what kind of peace I have now. Let me tell you how happy I am, how loved I am now. He's excited because it's great. It's wonderful. You see, Jesus doesn't have to say, I'm coming to take over, so you better warn everybody that I'm coming to take over. No, he says, don't you enjoy my reign in your life? Yeah, I'll bet you do. Just go tell everybody about it. That's all. It's so good. He knows that the people who truly break to him and are submitted to him, they're excited about it because he's such a wonderful ruler. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. It's his life under the reign of Jesus now. I mean, he has an eternal impact for good now in what he's doing. In his brokenness before the Lord Jesus. I love Jesus. Are you like the demon-possessed man? Maybe at the beginning of the story. Is there something? I don't care what it is. I promise you, if you're sitting here right now, you're not worse off than he was. And you don't have to clean yourself up any more than he did. I love it. He just comes to Jesus and he falls at his feet in worship. And he lets Jesus take it from there. Because for someone with someone like that, that's all you have to do. Just come. Maybe you're feeling like I was, like the villagers, who are like, Jesus, I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of what you're going to do. What's going to happen if I really submit to you? You'll like it. Don't worry. It's good. Just break. And it's so peaceful. If there's nothing else that I could say while I'm up here, there is so much peace in knowing the Lord Jesus. To be done with sin. When sin comes up in my life, not to get all bent out of shape about it, but to say, yeah, Lord, that's me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't want to think about me anyway. I want to think about you. And it's so peaceful. And I didn't have that before. Oh my goodness, I didn't. I mean, you want to talk about running around trying to please yourself. I was Mr. Number One, seek for pleasure, try and get happiness however I can. But now I've got it. And I don't need to keep running around trying to find it. And you know, I lose it. And I lose it because then I get all obsessed with me and my own sin and not broken before Jesus. But then, when I come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Please take over again. Then I've got that peace. And it is so wonderful. Oh my goodness. Just pray. Are you envious of the demon-possessed man? Do you look at that guy and think, man, I wish I could be like him, sitting at the feet of Jesus in complete submission? You can't. You can't. And you just come. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do want to worship you firstly. Lord Jesus is the one who could, with a word, command the demons. Lord, and yet the one who didn't turn away this man in all of his sin, in all of his ugliness. But you changed his life forever for good. Lord Jesus, those of us who know you, we first want to say thank you for doing that for us. And Lord, I want to confess my own lack of love for you in then being willing to take my life back after you've done that for me, Lord, and to say, I don't want you reigning after all, Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry for that. Lord Jesus, I pray that I and each of the people here, Lord, would just break before you, Lord. That we would be humbly before you, Lord, at your feet, just like this man was. And Lord, that we'd want to also, like him, go proclaim it to everybody, Lord. Those of us who have come to you, Lord, because it is so good. Lord, that we would be able to share with them something that they don't have. Lord, that they would then come to you in brokenness. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beauty of your word. We pray that you'd teach us, Lord, to be humble and broken before you. In your name, Lord Jesus.